Hi, this is Nicole Johnson, and I have my beautiful sister.
Hey, Bear.
This is our first inaugural podcast titled Letting Go of Victim Consciousness. I'm going to do a quick introduction, and then my sister's going to do an introduction, and then we'll get to the content. So I'm Nicole Johnson. I live in sunny San Diego, and I have been on a quest for the past 10 years to determine why my life really sucked. Let's just be honest. I don't think it was supposed to be that way. I did everything I was supposed to do. I went to school, got the degree, got married, bought a house, and it was still wasn't fun. And so I've been on this journey for the past 10 years, investing thousands of hours and researching a better way. And I wanted to share some of the tidbits I picked up along the way. I'm an NLP coach, and I'm a mom and a Girl Scout leader. That's me.
And I am a bear. That's short for Auntie Bear, if you're wondering where does that come from? I live in Vermont, surrounded in the woods, surrounded by so much beauty. And right now I'm just listening to the birds chatting because spring is finally coming. The grass is just starting to grow and the flowers are perking up, and it's just that there's just so much beauty. I've been on a path for quite a few years of a path of wanting to find peace in my life and how I just propagate peace and self-love and figure out who I am and why I came here and what was my what's my path? And I've had many teachers, and I walk the path of Druidry, which is if many of you probably don't know what a Druid is, other than what you see and hear in Hollywood, but Druidry is a way of being. It's a way of walking in this world with respect to all of nature, to all of all of the beings that we are connected to the directions and the elements, and recognizing that we are all connected in balance in this earth at this time. And so it's a path that I walk. Walk the talk. And I also teach currently at the local Druid school. So walking my walk is my life right now. Walking my talk, I mean. So that's who I am.
What I
And
think is so fascinating is when you graduated, you got to go to Stonehenge. Like, that's huge.
it was lovely to go and see Stonehenge, and but there were so many other sacred sites that we visited that were like just as powerful, that were just like little places out in the backyard of a farm, or just on this, just some really beautiful places. To connect with the earth.
So I wonder if we could do that like in our own backyard. I wonder.
Of course.
Imbue that this is a sacred spot or something.
Well, I'm learning, and fully believe that sacred isn't something that we create. Sacred is something that is, and we don't have to wait for the space to become sacred. All we have to do is recognize that it's sacred.
It is.
We're sacred, and the land and everything around us is sacred. And once we see that, it's a mindset. Once we see that, that tree that you like to sit underneath is sacred.
Was just going to talk about my tree. my tree in Point Loma that talks to me, and I love this tree. And I almost made it, I guess, myself a sacred thing. This is a pine cone from my beautiful tree in Point Loma. She told me, come see me, come see me. And I went, and I couldn't find a pine cone. She said, I have a pine cone for you. So I looked around her base. I couldn't find one. I couldn't find one. I said, well, okay, maybe it'll be next time. And I'm walking away. I'm walking away. And I'm just thanking the tree for bringing me here and getting me out of my car and house. And something told me, because I don't hear it, I just felt it. Look down. And I looked down, and there was this pine cone. And then there was a little baby tree, like right in front of the pine cone. And so I said, oh, well, maybe this is her sister pine cone. You know, thank you, sister, for bringing me this pine cone. Then something told me, look up. And I looked up, and there was her arm. My tree's arm went like 20 feet over right where I was standing. And it was her pine cone. And I was like, oh, goddess, thank you for this pine cone. So now that tree, which I've walked by that tree thousands of times, is now my sacred tree. Just by me seeing it that way. And I think that segues nicely into what we want to talk about, letting go of victim consciousness. So I think it's all about how you look at things. You know? Oh, I guess we wanted to say the goal is to take what resonates and leave what doesn't, and planting seeds, right?
Planting seeds of kindness and what the stewards call awen, which is just the divine inspiration that that whatever lights up your light, whatever fills your heart with awen.
And there might be some times of silence. You know, we might be getting a download. And I'm going to really work on my type A personality to not let that freak me out.
Because I have a tendency I want to make sure that I'm saying what's in my heart, and sometimes I take a breath to get the right words or just to get my truth out. So, yeah.
And I talk without thinking because it's how I've felt that I had to survive. Is I had to be seen, I had to be heard, and I had to get my words out. And sometimes I just talk without thinking. So it's going to be a huge, interesting combination.
I like the balance that this brings, you know.
I was on a call yesterday, and I was telling my friends what we were doing and about how polar opposites we are. And they said, that sounds fascinating. And they couldn't wait to get the link. So we already will have four more followers
Fabulous.
as soon as I post this and get the link. Okay, so I guess I'll just start, and the next time you start. So we have a little outline, and we may go off the outline, and we may throw it away and just rip. But I'm just going to start with how I walked into this. So I lived a life where I thought everybody's opinion of you was just find your value. It's how I was raised, and it's how I thought. So I went around being a chameleon. Being whatever you needed in the room, being walked on by my friends because their opinion of me was very important to me because they defined my reality. So I would say yes when I wanted to say no. I would put myself in compromising positions because I felt that that would give me the status. But it also helped me succeed really well at work because everybody's opinion of me was very important. So I would sign up for the extra projects. I would sign up for the overtime. I would sign up to do things that I didn't think I was competent for because I had to show that I could do anything. And one day, and I did really well. I was pretty successful, moved my way up when promotions were offered and I didn't get it, or the writing was on the wall that they were going to give it to somebody else. I stood up for myself and I said, "Hey, remember I did that before. I taught him how to do that. So how can you hire him over me?" And it did me well, served me well. But I was living a life on a hamster wheel and it wasn't fun. And one day my husband surprised me with tickets to Tony Robbins. It's just a personal development. It could have been anybody. But what I learned at that conference was it was a choice to be a victim. It was a choice to show up inauthentically. It was a choice to say yes when you wanted to say no. And I could choose the latter. I could choose to speak my truth. I could choose to not jump out of a plane just because my friend wants me to do it, which I actually never did. So I'm going to turn this off. But it was a choice. And I also blamed others for my happiness. Like if something happened at work, somebody was mean to me in a meeting, I blamed them for me not being happy when I came home. And I learned at this conference that I define my happiness. I define the meaning that things have come to. And I left that conference a different person. I left that conference now ready for any mindset, any class that I could go to just to learn how I could choose better. Because if everything is up to me to define the meaning to things, then why should I always pick the negative? So that's kind of how I got in to determining that I was actually manifesting a victim mindset consciousness because I was always looking around. Who's going to come out to get me? And then when they did not like me, I took it personally and I would do extra things to almost trick them to like me. And when you show up to somebody inauthentic, they're going to sense it. We're all energy beings. And so I was almost manifesting inauthentic relationships. So that's what I want to say.
Yeah, in this world that's going crazy. Every day I wake up and I hear something new and I go, that's interesting. And I think a few years ago I would have been taken it personally. It's like, victim, victim, victim. How can this happen? How can this happen to us? How can this happen to me? And now I look at it as that's interesting because I've been finding like what you were just talking about, Nicole, that where my energy is what will come back to me. So, my thoughts, my fears, if I walk into something fearful or feeling like a victim, well, then the universe is just going to keep bouncing back more victim, more victim, more victim, more opportunities for me to learn and work through and heal this, the victim, consciousness. And so I'm finding that what I want to bring into my life is peace and love and compassion. And so through that, looking at what's happening. And what's happened to me in the past personally, through the eyes of compassion and through the eyes of love. I'm sending out these seeds, these peaceful seeds of love and compassion. And in that, I'm able to keep my own personal energy at a higher vibration. And with that higher vibration, when I shine my light in public or when I shine my light anywhere, it's palpable, it's noticeable. And people see the authenticity and people feel that you're someone who can you can be safe with just to look into each other's eyes. Because sometimes that's scary, right? You know, just to walk in and have a conversation or not have a conversation and meet someone new and then your eyes meet and then it's like, oh no, they're gonna see me and you look away. And with to feel comfortable to be able to look into somebody else's eyes is it feels good and it creates a safe space.
They had an exercise at that. I think it was the ICTTHC. It's this conference that I went to and I actually volunteered at. Greg Braden was there. Bruce Lipton was there. Anita Marajano was there. There's a few people. I don't know who it was, but they had us find a partner, a random partner that we don't know, and stare at each other's in each other's eyes. And at first, it was very awkward because you don't know them. And maybe you sat next to them and, oh, yeah, I'm Nicole. I'm this. I'm that. You know, I'm perfect. And then you have to stop and look at somebody's eyes. And I think it was only 2 minutes, but it felt like an hour when it started. And me and this kind soul, she was a woman. We connected and we just cried and we didn't know why. After the end, we had tears flowing in our eyes and we asked ourselves, why did you cry? Why did you cry? No one could come up with it. And then later I came up to her. I said, I found out why. I let you see me. I let you see me and I normally don't. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's a beautiful feeling to be seen and be heard, you know, truly heard. Yeah.
And not this facade. Oh, I'm sorry. We went off on a tangent, but I like that. I like that. So awareness, what did we have in our outline? I don't know if we want to go with this outline, but I'm just going to go with
it. We'll just keep talking.
Okay.
Awareness. I did want to talk about awareness because what we want to talk about here is how can we shift the victim consciousness into or mindset into one of love. And that kind of sounds a little
woo-woo.
Though I thought a lot about it. And so if we go from victim to victor, well, words are really important. And victor implicates that if there's a winner, then there's a loser. And really what I'm hearing and what I'm feeling from my own guides and knowing is that we need to move into a place of love. And that's where we're moving into. Not that we need to, we are moving into a place of love. And in order to do that, we have to work with our shadows. And working with our shadows is not about hiding them. and or stuffing them or burying them because there's something we don't want. Because we need to have balance, and the balance between light and dark within ourselves. And so that means bringing our shadows up and being aware of them and making friends with them to find out really what's going on. Why am I so afraid to bring you up? Why am I so afraid to work with you? And so awareness, when we realize that we're coming from or responding to the world from a place of victimhood, when we become aware of that, that's how we start to work with it, to transmute it from something that scares us. And we can work it through our hearts into love. Now that's a lot. I just said a lot. But it's the awareness where we start, and the awareness of when something comes up, well, where did that come from? Why is that coming up? And to really own it. Is this mine or is this someone else's? And owning our own feelings around that, and owning our own reactions. And we can only do that in the present moment. So sometimes what I'm learning to do is when big emotions come up, I take a breath before I respond. Now, I know that doesn't happen all the time, but taking a breath before responding, so that first off, if I'm feeling this emotion, I want to have compassion for myself and compassion for that emotion. Oh, I'm feeling this. Okay. And which also radiates out to having compassion for the other person or the situation. Or maybe what's coming up for me a lot is past memories coming up. Oh, yeah, that happened, and owning it and still loving it and loving all of those pieces of me, all those shadows of me, whether it's past or present, that have created the bones and the structure of who I am today. And remembering that we are all sovereign beings. And in remembering that we are sovereign and we are sovereign beings helps us see everybody as their own sovereign being. So I take responsibility for my feelings, and you don't have to believe the way I believe because I see you as your own sovereign being. And in that grows great compassion for the fact that I grew up from di differently than the people I work with. And I grew up differently from and have different belief systems than other people, other beings, people that from different cultures, from different religions and spiritual beliefs. Because we were, I should say, well, I will speak for myself, Nicole, but I was very blessed to be raised by a woman who encouraged me to go out and explore all the different religions, spiritualities, to see what resonated with me. And what I found was that we're all human beings. We are all spirit wearing skin. And it really changed my perspective. And yeah, do you want anything to add there? I just talked a whole
No,
lot.
no. I do, but also you were saying how you people like grew up in different, homes. We grew up in the same home, and I have a very different memory of that home than you. Isn't that interesting? I created story at a young age that I wasn't wanted, that I was the reason why we lived in low-income housing. Me being conceived was why we didn't have a white picket fence in Ridgecrest. And it took me to talk to you, I guess, and say, I felt like I wasn't wanted because I was stuck, guys. I was stuck in victim consciousness. I created a story that by me being born, I cursed my family. Before I was born, they had a home and a dog and a house and a stay-at-home mom. And then I created a story that my mom cheated on her husband, got pregnant with me, and had to get married. Because on paper, I was born 9 months after they got married. So I put in my head that, well, she probably cheated on her husband, got pregnant, and then she cared what everybody thought. So she had to get married. And then, that was an epic shit show. And so then, because of me, you guys lost your house, lost your dog, lost your stay-at-home mom, and were forced to live in low-income housing. Isn't that horrible? And it, almost until, like, I guess it was a couple years ago, I asked you about that. And you were like, no, honey, she left my dad, and there was like a space. And then she met your dad. And I was like, what? You mean I'm not the reason why we had to eat liver and onions every Tuesday? I'm not the reason why you guys lost your house and dog and a mom that stayed at home and a Ozzie and Harriet work life, And so I had that taught me when I'm triggered, when I think a story is a certain way. And that feeling or story or victim mindset, let's say, doesn't push me in the direction that I want to go in. I recognize it. I'm like, well, that thought doesn't help me get to where I want to go. I want to go on this path of unconditional love, unconditional acceptance, unconditional joy. That's where I want to go. This thought that I had, let's just, because I got over the mom thing, that my kids hate me. I'm a mom, I have two teenagers, and right now, it's not that fun. And so I message and I ask myself, well, why? Tony taught us this thing called seven whys. So I recognize it. Hey, I'm having a feeling that's not leading me to unconditional love, unconditional joy, unconditional acceptance. So why do I feel that my kids don't like me? Well, because, I ask them to do chores and they don't want to do it. Well, why does not doing chores become a reflection of them not liking me? They're 16 years old. They don't want to do chores. That has nothing to do with me. Well, why do I? And then I ask the third why. Why does them not wanting to do chores make me feel less than adequate? Because when I was a kid, if I said no to my mom, that would have been the end of it. I mean, that would have just been the worst thing ever. My mom was a single mom. She worked really hard. She gave up so much for me to be born. I could never say no. Oh, so this no from my kids is really back to when I was a child and I wasn't allowed to say no. Interesting. Well, is it my child's story to fix the wounds of me growing up? Or is it me? So that was a big full circle. And it's time, it takes time. And a lot of times I don't give myself time. I have things to do. I have things to do, but I've been afforded an opportunity to slow down and to really question why. Why did I get triggered with my 16-year-old not wanting to do chores? And then when I really look at it from like a higher perspective, they're 16. Who wants to do chores? You're large and in charge and think that your mom's an idiot and you can't wait to move out. Your mom says is going to get either the finger salute or a big wall put up. So now I make it fun. In fact, after we finish with the Zoom call, I'm going to tell the kids they have the day off school. We're going to go pick weeds in the backyard. And they're probably going to roll their eyes and they're probably going to get mad. But I mean, that's okay. You can get mad. You can roll your eyes. But we still have to pick these weeds. So I'm going to put on some nice music. I'm going to take a deep breath. I'm going to knock on their door. Hey, I'm going to give them a they I've learned. I have to give them a little half hour notice. Hey, in 20 minutes, we're going to go in the backyard and there's some weeds we have to pick. And when and if they give me back, negative or positive, because of this work that I've done, I'm not going to take it personally. I'm going to be able to identify that I'm not a victim. I'm not living in victim consciousness with this one idea. We're going to go pick weeds, and you may or may not like it. And that's really okay. It's really okay if you don't like it. But we're still going to pick the weeds. So maybe next podcast, I'll tell you guys how that Oh.
Yeah, those seven whys. Seven whys. It's a nice process to go through.
And I never would have done it before. I just would have instantly taken it. Well, they don't like me. They don't respect me. I'm going to take their phone away. They don't like me. They don't respect me. You know, they're going to be in when they want to go to their friends. Now I'm not going to let them go. And I almost created a division with my victim consciousness.
Well, and you make a good point that when you are when you feel a victim, you just want to get angry. You either
Oh
want to
no.
fight or flight, right? And so in shifting that victim consciousness, that mindset, you can go into a you know It's coming through the heart. Yeah, I know you don't like it, but we're gonna do it. It's gotta get done. Let's have fun while we do it. Going right through the heart instead of taking it personally, right?
And maybe ask them, because we have some speakers out there. Do you guys want to pick the music? You know, they listen to some god awful music, if you ask me. But it. So, well, you get to pick the music. How about that? And then they feel like they're part of it. But yeah, it's been a long lesson, because normally I'd be like, we're gonna pick weeds, we gotta do it right now, da, 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 da. And I didn't give them a warning. I didn't let them, you know.
Nice. Yeah, there's a tool that I like to use that I learned a while back. Called the work from I just woo, her name went out of my head.
Really?
Joanna Macy.
Oh, I was gonna Google it. Okay.
And it's called the work. And the big piece that I can when I'm really taking something personal, like a no, oh, you know, a no or someone gave me a look and I thought, oh, she didn't like the way I dressed or Do I smell funny? Or, I mean, it can even get bigger. Like, I had a friend, I had someone that I care for very deeply who set a boundary. And they said, you can't come over here anymore. And that really hurt. And so the work, and I'm not going to get all of this right because I'm very imperfect. Yay. But it's the questions are, is that true? So let's say this person set this boundary. And so I could easily go into, I'm a bad person. She thinks they think I'm a bad person. I did something horrible. Oh my God. Right? The question is that true, or is that my own dialogue? Is that my own stuff coming up? And if it is true, can I change that right now in the present moment? Can I change it? I can't change the past. Is it, if it's not true, then is it really worth my trying to change this person's opinion of me? Right? I can't change, I can't make people do things or see me any differently, other than having my own actions. And you keep asking the question, is this true? If it's not true, can you do something about it? If you can't do it, do anything about it, then there's acceptance. And the acceptance isn't the message that the personally received that, oh, I'm a terrible person. The acceptance is she set a boundary. And I accept and appreciate this boundary because you spoke her truth, you know? And it's important to respect people's no's and yeses, without taking it personally, without taking life personally or her wor or the words personally. And so what I did in that situation is I said, thank you for your truth. And I respect that. Got in my car and I left.
I would have cried. I would have cried for probably a week and
I cried.
called everybody and told them what happened and get them to lick my wounds with me and
I'm such a victim.
get someone to call that person and say, what the hell are you doing, you dumb bitch? And then probably ruin relationships between them too. Yeah.
Exactly. And I did cry. And when I cried, it wasn't I'm a victim. I cried because I allowed this grief to come up, because this means that this some person that I love very deeply is not a part of my life right now. You know, and I allowed that grief to come out.
Good.
And I allowed my friends to hold space for that, you know, but it was a place of allowing my grief, allowing myself to feel this grief and feel rejection and still respect, you know, that other person's truth. Ah, and so and it's a constant work, you know, to find different ways to shift it, and that is one way that I've been able to shift.
Well, it's almost like you did what's on our outline, is the healing starts with self. You saw the victim mindset trigger, right? What did I do? Because I'm sure that was probably autopilot. what did I do? I must be a bad person. Da, da, da. My brother was right. My whatever. My friend from junior high was right. You know, yeah, I am a POS. But then you turned it, and after you released it, I'm sure, walked away in light. And by doing that, you might have built a bridge back to her. And if you would have acted like I probably would have acted, crying, victim, blame, shame, listing all the reasons why she should worship me because of the past things I've done for her, or the past things that I've feel that I've selfishly, selflessly given to her. I would like try to prove that she should like me. Like I did at work. Like I did at work, but they didn't want to give me the job. And I went back, oh, let me show you all the reasons why I should get this job. But I probably would have worked at it as like a work thing. And then that would have nuked any bridge that would really grow.
And
Because
I
you
have
weren't the light, you might have created a little grapevine bridge.
And I've worked a lot with re acceptance of the fact that we have wonderful memories, and that she was my biggest teacher in that moment. Biggest teacher is to be able to just accept somebody's no. That's a hard thing, to accept no's, and rejection. You know, rejection can be very victim mindset, consciousness triggering. And instead, just one of my biggest teachers. And I really appreciate that very much.
Yeah, I had a project that I was working on for my 9 to 5. There was a team of people that I thought, well, for sure they're going to want to work with me because I have 22 years experience doing this field. And I was rejected. I was rejected. And, you know, I thought about getting a lawyer and you know, writing this up and proving why I should be, you know, accepted into this group. And I think it was you or someone I was talking to bringing everybody in. And you're like, okay, great. And you win. And now you're stuck working with people that are now forced to work with you. Is that how you want to live? And so I had to thank gosh for the Tony Robbins and all of the work I've been doing with victim mindset. Because I probably would have sued them and gone to the union or whatever. But I walked away. I said, is it really worth, I've given so much energy to this. Is it really worth more vitriol and more drama and more victim? Because every day I'd be walking, I'm a victim, I'm a victim, I'm a victim. And I just walked away. And it was the hardest and easiest thing I've ever done, if that makes sense. It's the hardest and easiest thing. And then people, when I tell them the story, they're like, well, you could have done this and you could have done that. And I'm like, for what? To work with people that don't want to work with me? Don't want to do that. So I did. I walked away with light. I just gave them a little statement. Da, 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 this isn't working for me. And I send you love. I send you love. I send you love. And I in meditation sometimes, because there was a couple people I would say that started it. And I probably own some of it too. I send them love. I send them love. I send them love.
And do you send yourself love as well?
I've been trying and doing it because 40, no, 33 years of my life, my career defined my value and put a roof over our head. And it took me to say, Nicole Johnson, naked, no house, no job. That's Nicole Johnson. Isn't that weird?
This is the authentic Nicole Johnson, who what I'm hearing, and not to put words in your mouth, it sounds to me, and what I've been hearing from you is that you're following your heart as opposed to following what the society's expectations,
Time.
your perceived expectations of mom was, you don't show your weaknesses, work hard, work ethics, got to keep that roof over the head, because we had some bumpy times, really rough, bumpy times. Keep you well fed and fat, dumb, and happy. That which is not a term I like to use anymore, but that was what was instilled in us. You've got to, clean and mended.
And your name is everything. Remember that? Your name is everything. That was like our family motto. And that is literally putting in the hands of somebody else your value. Literally. Please tell me how value, please, stranger on the street that I'm picking corn with, if you give me a bad look, I must be ugly, or I must have a problem picking corn. Please, guy at work that's probably intimidated by my 22 years experience, you don't want to work with me. So that's my value now. I'm a failure. I don't like that. We
No,
changed generational, we changed gen ancestral lineage.
Well, yes. So there is a whole lot of ancestral baggage that we carry. And mom carried it, and her mom carried it, and back and back and back. And there's a lot of victimhood there. And it just the energetically, it passes itself on and on through the line. And I'm saying the buck stops here. I'm saying I need to do this healing, this work, this opening up my capacity to love and compassion and forgiveness, so that and what is really interesting is doing that, it heals the ancestors and it heals your family. And it heals even the future generations. It makes this, this, it, this, it just spreads out like ripples in the water. And this energy affects so much. It even affects the society, your community, because I like to start with the community, your family, yourself, your family, your community, and then on out into your country and the world. It really ripples out. And so, there's another piece that I'll say here is that my ancestors have been really pushing me to do this work. And I believe, I really believe that they have my back for this, with this. Because taking my power back without taking somebody else's power from them.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
So.
maybe we planted a seed with both of that situation. You know, maybe you planted a seed because she probably was expecting you to lash out and fight. Why don't you want me here? Why don't no. And then by you not doing that, you might have planted a seed. Wow, maybe I got this wrong. I don't know.
Well, and you know, maybe who
Who
knows?
knows?
But and she is speaking her truth, and that is taking her power back, right? That is taking her power back, and I did not try to take any of her power when I said I respect and appreciate this boundary in your truth. You know, I totally respect that. And in that, I'm remembered to respect my truth and my boundaries. And because when my boundaries and my truth matter, so do others. When my, yeah, truth and boundary, so do others. So the work that I do here helps me change the way I see people, right? And I can get really angry at what's going on in the country, and that is very normal, you know? Yeah. And not just the country, but the world. And I choose instead to have compassion for everybody. Everybody. You know, what can I do? Where can I be most effective? I could be most effective by getting back into my heart and having compassion. I use the word compassion. There's something I just want to talk about with, and this is coming up for me right now, so I think I'll say it. There are, yeah, there are levels. There is. Quiet time. Here we go. Found it. You can have sympathy for someone, but having sympathy for someone just means you're feeling sorry for somebody. And oh, the one term that I really don't do well with is, oh, well, God bless your soul. Oh, you know, oh, bless you. What I hear is, I feel sorry for you. You know, I'm definitely yes, I'm not anti-Christian, but that term, when I hear it, it tells me you feel sorry for me. I must have done something wrong, you know, or I must be broken. And then there's empathy, which is understanding and sharing what other people's are feelings. And a lot of us are empaths, and we do that. We feel it. We feel it. And one thing that happens sometimes with empathy is a wonderful thing. What we need to be careful of is wanting to fix someone. Oh, I feel your pain. Here, let me fix it. Let me make it better. Right? And then there's compassion. And compassion means I see you for the beautiful being that you are, where you are right now, no matter what space you're in. And that, when I come from a place of compassion, I feel it. My heart just like expands. And I feel, I don't feel a separation. I don't agree. That I'm not gonna, and I'm not gonna put up walls, and blame you for not seeing the world the way I see it. Doesn't mean it's okay, but it means that I'm not a victim.
Yeah, that's been really hard for me because I expect people to act like I would act. I would never not want to work with somebody with 22 years experience. I would love to learn and to grow. To me, that's a gift. I would never want someone who loves my children and wants to pour love into them. I would never put up a wall and say, I don't want you loving on my children. So that's been hard for me. But with this work that I've been doing and stepping out of victim consciousness, is people are allowed to be whoever they want to be. And I am allowed to love them regardless of whether or not they love me.
Oh, so well said. So well said. I think we've been talking for a while. I'm not sure
I
how
think so.
long.
I think we hit everything. I'm looking at the notes. So in summary, we said when bad things come up, feel it. Ask yourself, where is that coming from? Why is this a trigger? Why is that trigger triggering trigger 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 trigger? And maybe you can embrace it. And say, well, thank you, universe, for showing me this trigger. I appreciate it. That trigger, you can go somewhere else and go help somebody else because I no longer need that trigger.
And I can would add to that well, let's say the trigger somebody looks at you a funny way at the grocery store, right? And you think, oh my God. And then you ask yourself, what is it? Maybe it's a similar look that you used to get from your mom when you did something wrong, right? And so in recognizing that, you can own it. You can say, oh, it's that's not whether or not they were thinking anything about me, it that was my trigger. And integrating and transmuting, what's one way of letting go of is transmuting that trigger into love.
Gonna say, yeah. Send that person that gave you a dirty look love, smile right back and be like, wow,
And
I
send
love
that
you.
little and send that little girl who used to cower at that expression or that look, that she got from her mother, that little girl, little person, that send love and compassion too to that one, that little one. I see you and I love you. Right? I love you. And then to mom, to the mom that gave you that look, and say, Mom, I love you. It's been a hard day or whatever it was. I love you. And that's an yeah, to that helps with the letting go, with the transmutation of that victim who was, oh my gosh, I better be quiet now that I got that look. Or what did I do? To love and compassion. Yeah. Which then radiates out to love and compassion to that person that Who knows? You know, maybe they just got some bad news, or they were thinking about their grocery shopping and really, thinking about something they had to do after work. It had nothing to do with me.
And maybe that smile, wow, that's interesting. And that smile you gave back, maybe they'll smile at the next person. It could be almost like a puddle. It just kind of goes out and out and out and out. Well, this was fun. This was good. So, like and subscribe to this channel so we can continue. Comment if you have any suggestions on what you'd like to hear on next. I'm thinking almost like inner child work might be good because I could really love to get that inner child out and tell her that she's an amazing person. And I think that could help in several areas of my life. So let me just plant that seed with you for our next topic, connecting to our inner child and not, what's the word? Not curing her, but giving her a voice again.
Ah, yes. That sounds exciting.
Yeah, not giving her a band-aid. Oh, you poor thing. You trampled on little soul. No. Give her a voice.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, whoever's watching. We love and appreciate you. This is Kari, I mean, A Bear. And Nicole Johnson, not Matt Johnson. I got to figure out how to change that. Nicole Johnson signing off. And our message is everyone's enabled to rise. All they
Yes.
have to do is stand. Thank you.